We've seen you on Channel 9 before, right?
Oh, yeah, he's famous. Man.
We're the map crew.
The map crew. And you're the virtual Earth crew, right?
Yeah.
So that's what you call your new map. And who are you?
I'm Steve Lombardi, program manager for virtual Earth.
Okay. And
I'm Matthew Chung, program manager for virtual Earth as well.
And
I'm Chandu, dev on virtual Earth.
Oh, you weren't on the video last time.
Yes, I missed. I was sick.
And you're the guy who does the feed map.
Yes,
I have the feed map on my blog.
Exactly.
The great Chandu.
And I'm Cody Everson. I'm a dev as well.
All right, and I heard on Monday we're launching virtual Earth.
Yeah, so by the time people are looking at this, hopefully this is Monday when you're seeing this. And yeah, you should be live, so you can go to virtualearth.com or virtualearth.msn.com.
Now, we saw it 2 months ago, right? So
yeah.
We saw like the early
previews.
Betas.
Yeah.
And we want to see it.
Yeah, so this is it.
Dive in.
He's got it.
Show me some cool things
going.
Here. Here, let me get over here.
So, I mean, what we see over here is the actual aerial picture of the Hollywood sign. And you can see, we can actually zoom
in. Now, how are you zooming in with the plus and
minus
key?
Well, you can zoom plus and minus key with the mouse over here and drag bar. Or if you have the mouse plug-in, which I don't have,
The mouse wheel? Show me that finger again. Do that finger.
The mouse wheel. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, if you double-click on a map, it'll zoom in, right? For example, if I just double-click on the Hollywood sign over here, it'll zoom in and center yourself on whatever you want to click on. So that's fairly interesting.
Now, how do I get to the Hollywood sign? Did you do a search or anything?
Well, you can sort of do that. So what we did is we did a search for Hollywood. So we just type in Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
Hollywood. The other thing is I see already, let me see if I can show that. You got street sign, street addresses or names on the satellite photo.
Yeah, they're definitely overlaid over it. So it gives you some context of what you're looking at. So no, we did a search of Hollywood. You can do a search of Hollywood.
Okay.
And then from that point on,
and then you just zoom around.
Yeah, you zoom around.
Now, can you take coordinates and email those around to your friends, or put them up on your
web? Yeah, blue permalink.
Yeah, you can definitely do that.
Okay.
So how do you do that? Well, if you wanted, like, let's say you want to save this image for a friend, right? Like,
yeah.
I want to show Sean you over there exactly what I'm seeing here. I go to permalink, and I say, okay, take this URL, and you can bookmark it, you can email it, or you can copy and paste it, and this will take the person exactly where they are.
Wow. All right. So you can do all the famous map tricks, like send your friends the Golden Gate Bridge, or Yosemite, or whatnot.
And then, you know, there's that scratchpad feature that you guys might have talked about before, that you know you can save your five favorite places and on a list that will persist next time you come back. You don't have to enter back in the game. You can send it to a friend, email, blog it, you know, that kind of neat stuff, too.
Right. Now, what's your favorite five places to go?
Well, I mean, one of my favorite places is actually, you know, back in Sha Sha Beach in the Pacific Coast, right? So, I mean, our pictures is actually highly detailed in my 1 meter resolution. You can see the waves and all the beach rocks and everything. In fact, I'm going there in 2 days for a camping trip, so I've been taking a look at this thing. You guys want to see it?
Yeah.
All right. For it.
So, what's the best way to find this? Let's go back to Washington State first. Ooh, District Columbia.
Different Washington.
Different Washington. So over here is Seattle.
Right.
I know
now, where do you get all these satellite images from?
Steve, can you answer that one?
A variety of different sources. So we've been working, the last video that we did, we had Tom Barkley in here, who's the TerraServer guy, best known as the TerraServer guy from MSR. So we've been working with Tom, and Tom acquires and all of the imagery from various satellite and aerial flyover providers and does all the processing and aggregation to get them in here.
Right.
So if you look at this image over here, I'm actually focused on the Sha Sha Beach, the Point of Arches, which is this rock formation over here.
Yep.
And you can actually see the individual waves, the rocks. You can tell this is taking fairly high tide because, you know, the beach is very narrow. And if we turn on the labels, it gives you some context of where it is at. Right? This label is on. You can see that we do label this as the Point of Arches.
Let me see if I can zoom in instead.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, you can see that's the Point of Arches, and that's the Olympic National Park, right?
So yeah.
Besides showing you raw image, you know, you sort of understand where you are as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a pretty unique feature on the web. We haven't seen this yet, but we think it makes aerial imagery really useful when you're in aerial mode to be able to see, you know, streets labeled. You can see one-way streets right on the map, street names, building labels, etc.
Cool. Yeah, let's take a look at the one-way street label. So we zoom into Seattle downtown. I bet you there's one-way streets there. Actually, I don't think one-way streets actually makes it more effective traffic. It just kind of bugs me. So you can see the one-way street arrows there. You know.
So if I'm planning a trip downtown, I know exactly how to get to like the Pike's Market.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
I can plan out my trip.
Yeah. Hey, while he's zoomed in that close, you want to see my favorite feature that we haven't really talked about yet?
You have a feature that you haven't talked about?
Well, we have a bunch.
All right.
When you're zoomed in tight, this is one of my favorite things to do when you're exploring an area.
Yep.
Is a wildcard search. So as you know, we probably showed you this in VE last time. Like, you know, I can do a search for, let's say, coffee.
Oh, there's going to be plenty of coffee places in Seattle.
I need to spell it right. You can see it gave me a spelling suggestion. Yes, there we go. Okay, so of course, I can now see all the coffee places in downtown thanks to auto refresh as I move around the map that continues to refresh. But let's say there's a business. I don't know the name of it, but I kind of know where it is.
So if I scroll from here all the way to New York, it would show me all the coffee places?
It'll just keep showing you coffee places. As a matter of fact, we make that easy with a feature called game panning. So we've got this compass here, and I can just click and hold, and as I move around, I'm always going to keep panning, and as I move farther away, I pan faster, and as I come to the center, I pan nice and slow. So it makes it real easy to cover big chunks of territory. It
gives you great control without tiring your fingers out.
Right.
But now, that's not the really cool feature. This is what I think is a pretty neat feature. When you want to explore an area, like here I am in Capitol Hill, sort of near my house. I'm zoomed in pretty tight, and I know you can see that there's a coffee place nearby, but there's another business, and I don't even know what that business is. I don't know its name. I don't even know what Yellow Page category it's in. So I can do a wildcard search. Just put in an asterisk here. And hit enter, and we'll do a search on any business. Now I can just start paging through every business that's in this area. And similar to any other search I do.
So you're hitting next over here, mm-hmm. and it's taking all those places on the map.
Yeah, through basically paging through every known business that is within this map window right now. And if I were to zoom out, I can, of course, expand my map window and... Virtual Earth is always going to auto-refresh these queries, and you can see, again, I still have my coffee shops, but now in red, I'm seeing every business that we know about in here, and I can page
through. So all you did was put an asterisk in the what address bar?
Yeah, in the what field. So basically, what are you searching for? And in here, you can normally put a category like I'm looking for hotels, or a business name like I'm looking for Balfour Company, or I can put in the wildcard and just say, just show me everything that you know about, and I'll just page through. You can zoom into a street corner that you know real well, but you don't know the name of the business that's there. Just put the wild card in and page through, and eventually you'll see it come
out. You can control the number of businesses you want to show. So if you want to only show 5 at a time, 10 at a time, and 20 at a time, you just go to your options menu over here and the tools options, yeah. And you can select the number of search items to display, from 5 to 20.
Okay.
So it's fairly flexible what you want to do with it. And of course, you can always switch to aerial view and take a look at what those businesses actually might look like in the sky.
Now, are you guys going to start doing street level views as well?
The last time you were here, we showed you a feature that we called Eagle Eye. Yeah. So that will be in our fall release. So that's coming in the future. But it's pretty neat. That's the 45-degree views from low elevation flyovers. Pretty cool, four directional cameras mounted on the plane, and you'll be able to get views at really super high resolution down into the sides of buildings as opposed to, straight down on rooftops.
Right.
We've also put in nifty technology that our research team is working on to put those images together in a way that you can pan and zoom and stuff.
Very cool.
It's coming together.
Very cool.
Hey, you know what we should probably show you?
Yeah, what's
maybe Shandu wants to tell you, since he was the dev on this feature, this is a never before. It's a Channel 9 exclusive. We haven't shown this to anybody yet.
All right.
But it's the Locate Me functionality. Maybe Matthew can show it, and then Shandu can tell you about it.
Okay.
Because this is totally sick. It's really amazing.
So there's a new button over here called Locate.
Yep, right over here. And this is something that nobody else has done before.
So now where are you now? So set some context. So you the next frame... interesting place would be Redmond Campus, obviously, where we're sitting at.
Right.
So,
right.
So exactly. So
right,
we want to show exactly the building that we are in right now. So
okay.
So you can do that with one mouse click.
Yeah.
So the mouse click is, if you don't know where you are, your user will find out instantly where you are. There's a really easy way to do it in virtual Earth, and that's a locate me feature.
So if I'm in a Starbucks in New York or in Seattle here, I just click on locate me?
Yep.
And show me this.
Yes.
I want to see this.
Do
so,
it.
Let's do it. Right. So over here, I click locate me.
Yeah.
And
boom.
Boom.
It took about a second.
And how did it do that?
Well, elfin magic.
Are you guys following me around?
That's
approximately this corner of the building.
That's exactly where we are, and that puts right on.
It not only got into the building 119, but it showed me the right corner of the building.
Yeah, exactly.
Now wait a second. Would this work with any place in the world, or just here in my shop?
Any place in the United States.
Okay.
So basically, a common use scenario is you just get off the plane in San Francisco, and you want to find your hotel, or you want to find your way to your hotel. You whip out your laptop, hit that locate me button. We're going to automatically determine where you are within about 30 to 50 feet. Pop a push pin on the map with a timestamp like that. Now you can do a search for, do hotels.
Now, how does this work? I mean, would this work if I'm hooked up to a cell phone through Bluetooth or something?
No, it's so far cooler than that. You don't need any hardware other than a Wi-Fi capable laptop. So what we're doing is using Wi-Fi signals, we're triangulating, similar in principle to how a GPS works, but you don't need a GPS plugged in. So GPS works by taking time differential from multiple satellites and doing some really hard math and figuring out where on Earth you are. Same thing here. We're getting the position of nearby access points, and then based on the signal strength to each of the access points, triangulating to
now, how do you know where
location.
These access points are? Like the access point here at Microsoft, how do you know it's in that corner of the building?
We maintain a database of these access points across the country, and we're actually growing that out to be worldwide.
Okay. So if I go to, let's say, Valley Fair Mall in Silicon Valley, and there's Wi-Fi there,
yeah, should we
you guys will
great.
Find...
Chances are, there's a good chance that if you can see a Wi-Fi access point, they'll be in our database, and this feature will work for you.
Yeah, exactly. And we should point out that you don't need to be on that access point. So you don't have to pay a subscription fee to be on that access point. Wi-Fi is basically everywhere, and the signals are everywhere, and even if there is a security encrypted access point, web protected access point, it still broadcasts its unique ID,
right.
Its MAC address, and its signal strength. So I don't have to be on it to be able to get a signal from it and determine location.
Now, my access point in my house is the only one in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
How do you know where my access point is in my house?
Well, we may or may not know where your access point is,
okay.
But it's very possible that our data, when we collect our data, someone might have drove down your street and correlated your access point with this particular location.
Okay.
And this gets entered in our database anonymously. So the next time we use this thing, we know where you are based on your access point.
Now, let's say I go home tonight and try this out, and it doesn't recognize my house. Can I add my access point to your database?
Well, not at this point.
Okay.
But, I mean, in the future, we will open.
Right. We'll be automatically adding that because we actually take care of the requests that are coming in, and then we analyze the data and then figure out, okay, this access point is missing, but we do no other access points around. So Steve said, we are building our database so that we can cover more larger areas.
The more people that use this, the better it will get. So it's like a self-growing type system.
Okay. Can I report if it gives, does it give you a very accurate reading? If I tried this 1,000 times, how many errors would I see using the system?
Well, if you're in the same spot it works once, it will always keep working.
That's true, but let's say I was going around the country and using this.
I'm
going to Atlanta this weekend,
Steve,
so I'm going to try it in Atlanta.
Steve actually went through some East Coast driving, and
yeah. He
did the road test, so
yeah,
probably he can attest to
the
quality.
Coast, and I used the feature as I moved from New Jersey through to upstate New York, back through New York City, and I think the only place where I didn't have coverage was... Where I couldn't determine a location was near my parents' house in Jackson, New Jersey. That was one spot where we just didn't have any access points nearby.
Right.
But still pretty good. It took going pretty far out there into a pretty rural area to
yeah,
to
along
not
the highway too.
Get
you could find yourself in the coffee shops, and yeah, you Steve even emailed us some of the pictures of where he was sitting when he located himself and he sent out the maps.
Using the permalink.
Exactly.
Now I can locate myself and now mail someone a permalink and say, hey, here's where I am right now.
Now, do you need to load any software on your machine, or does this come?
Yeah, that's the one thing in Virtual Earth that we should point out, that this is a pure browser-based application, works really well in Firefox or Internet Explorer. The one thing that does require client download is that Wi-Fi locator. So the first time you click that Locate Me button, I would ask you if you want to download this little component. It's about 600K. It's pretty tiny. Installs in the system tray, and that's the piece that's actually doing the listening for the Wi-Fi signals and then making a web service call up to Virtual Earth to determine the location.
That's why
it's a very lightweight component. There's no data. It's really just doing the Wi-Fi listening and making a very quick, lightweight call. You saw how fast that was.
It's awesome.
Half a second.
If I go back to Building 118 or Building 18 where I am, it'll show them that I'm in Building 18.
And that's why we timestamp it like that. You can actually travel around, and we'll timestamp each of those entries as you're moving around.
Right. Wow, that's cool. And here is a cool application of this. So you are driving around in Seattle downtown.
Yeah.
Robert, I know you love to travel.
Right.
So you drive around and you keep locating yourself, and we keep adding these scratchpad items. And at the end, you can actually take that and blog it. See all these places I have drove around this weekend, and so these are the places I have seen. So you can essentially share your breadcrumb kind of thing on your blog or email to your friends. And
now, so, I wish I had this to test yesterday. I was up in the Boeing took a bunch of bloggers and journalists up in their Wi-Fi plane. And I would have loved it.
That'd be fun.
You know, because SAS and Singapore Airlines now have Wi-Fi in the plane, and it'd be interesting to see how messed up it makes the map.
Yeah, in all likelihood, you'd get an error because you're too far from Earth to pick up the access points that you're moving over.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actually, they're working on a web service. Their network operations center can tell where you are in their plane and where the plane is. Mm. So maybe a future version, you should work with the Boeing people.
Right.
So you can look up on your map, you know, work with the Boeing people and say, hey, click when you're on SAS, click the map and it'll show you right where you are. That'd be cool.
The really cool thing about this is that most of the case you don't need to buy additional hardware. You know, most of the newer laptops today come with Wi-Fi capability. So though in some cases it functions like a GPS, you don't have to buy a $100 GPS puck for it.
Right. And carry it around.
Now, if you're hooked up to the internet through an Ethernet cable or a broadband modem at home, will it still find me?
Yeah, that'll work fine. As long as there's Wi-Fi nearby. So like at home...
Well, what if you don't have Wi-Fi?
Yeah, if you don't have Wi-Fi, the situation is different. It will still work. It won't be as accurate. So if you don't have Wi-Fi, we'll fall back to a less accurate reverse IP location.
Okay.
It'll mostly point you to, you're in the city. Won't be able to tell you you're in this house, you're in this building. They say, okay, you know what? You're most likely in Redmond, most likely in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So it'll still work. Right. And this feature does not require any software download. So for some reason, if you don't want to load software into your computer, although it's very lightweight, or just not your computer.
You should be clear there. Because when you first click on this button, you have a choice of an IP lookup or the Wi-Fi lookup. And the Wi-Fi lookup requires software.
Yes.
The IP lookup works just with a web browser,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
You got it.
And it'll work with any web browser, no matter what equipment they have.
Okay. This is really cool stuff. Yeah. Now, so what else is cool here? Because
well,
I know you guys got some other
cool
stuff.
Cody's being kind of quiet over there. Maybe Cody can tell us about some of the programmability stuff and the map control that we're exposing.
You mean you guys have a... Wait a second. This is MSN, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you have a developer store?
We sure do.
Why do you look surprised, Robert?
I'm the cynical one here.
Yeah, Cody's been definitely working on that part of it.
So since most of the major work for Virtual Earth, like our first release, has kind of been wrapping up, we've been looking at trying to wrap the map, at least the mapping functionality, into a control that other web developers could use on their own personal websites, or eventually, hopefully, like commercial websites as well.
Now, okay, you said I can use your mapping control on my website. Do I need to pay money or sign a licensing agreement?
We'll work out the...
Do I have to deal with the Microsoft lawyers?
We'll deal with that later, but for now, it's just JavaScript and images for now, so you can just put it on your website for now.
So do you have a term of service thing?
Yeah, of course, there's some of that stuff, so for the legal restrictions, but... Yeah. If it's just your personal free website, yeah, of course. Just go ahead and throw some JavaScript on your website. You'll be able to get the maps, the animated zoom features, and the push pins, the whole works.
Now, where do I go for the developer features of Virtual Earth?
Oh, here you go. So we're just pulling it up here.
Okay.
So we've been working with a third party. Dr. Neil Rudin is setting the site up for us.
Oh, I know him.
Via virtualearth.com. And he's going to have up here, I mean, it's not Monday yet, so you're looking at... what is it, Tuesday or something right now? So by next week, he'll have this fully live. And you'll be able to go here and download tutorials that Neil's been working on for us, learn how to use the map control that Cody was just talking about. There will be a gallery here where developers can build a cool application and then come up and register it. There will be a links gallery so that you can check out other people's applications. We've had a few people internally working on some pretty neat stuff that you'll see up here on day one.
Yeah, Dara is working on something.
Yeah, Dara's working on a movie locator. Sean in Spaces has done a really nice integration between MSN Spaces and MSN Virtual Earth, so he'll have that up here as well.
Now what's the URL for the main Virtual Earth?
VirtualEarth.com will get you there, or VirtualEarth.MSN.com will get you there.
Got it. And if I go to the old maps.msn.com?
That'll still be live as well, and we'll probably add a link in there, so we'll phase that out through time. But right now that supports 38 countries, and with Virtual Earth we're starting with... We have global coverage, but not down to street level. Street level will start with just the United States, but we do want to grow it out for all 38 countries and more
that
we support.
The MSN Maps Interaction site has multiple languages, and currently Virtual Earth is mostly English.
Yeah.
So, you know, until we expand our language and geographic coverage, the MSN Maps Interaction site will still be alive and people can still use that.
Great. What about a business model? What are you guys going to throw lots of ads in my face and stuff like that?
No, we're gonna. It is an ad-based application. If you pull it back up, Matthew, you could actually show it off. It's pretty neat. The ad model here is there. You'll notice there's no banner ads here. There's no like silly, buy a Visa card kind of generic ads that we've all as humans we just are so good at filtering them out and avoiding them because they're basically useless to us. But here in the Virtual Earth, we use a combination of your location that you've expressed interest in along with the keywords that you have searched for to put up highly targeted ads. So if we go to hotels in Seattle right now, zoom out a couple of clicks so that we see some more. Right now, you can see, thanks to auto-locate, these are all hotels that are in this area, and you can see the listings for them here. Now, zoom back in one click. I think there we go. So now you can see there's also down here sponsored links.
Okay.
So what that basically means is that these two hotels, Heron Inn and Comfort Suites, said, hey, for this geographic area right here, when someone is searching for a hotel in that area, I want to show them an ad for a hotel. Now, Matt has scrolled back over to Seattle, and it looks like we're getting the same ads
and
there.
It's
but if
two
we
blocks away, distance from
Seattle,
which is right
now Comfort
here.
Suites is saying that they're near, they've got a place near the Space Needle because we're near the Space Needle. Now I'll do a search for, let's say, chiropractors. So I say chiro.
Spelled out properly.
Practor. Did I get it right?
I don't know.
Yeah, looks pretty good. And you can see that now I got chiropractors nearby. This is a really good time for someone to put in an ad for their chiropractic business that is within this view. So what we've done is two things here. We've made it valuable for the user. For me, if I say, hey, I'm in Seattle looking for sporting goods, that's a really good time. That's when I'm really open to seeing an ad for a sporting goods store. And as an advertiser, I'm actually willing to pay more to put that ad in front of someone because instead
of... Now, how do you buy ads if I have a business and I want to buy an ad on?
There's a couple of channels that we're getting the ads through. There'll be more information on that on the website when we launch on Monday, but there'll be a few channels that we're working to aggregate ads from.
Cool.
Another thing we want to do is, just besides showing customers playing ads, that we can work with the vendors and put coupons up there. For example, if you're searching for coffee or latte or something, maybe you'll see a coupon for 50 cents off a latte at a particular store. It will actually be useful for the people. So the users might actually want to see these ads and actually, hey, I want that, and that's cool. It's useful to me. Ads are really bad when they're out of context and they're just taking up space.
Yeah, when they overwhelm the screen without, bringing a lot of value. And here we think the model's just the opposite. They're highly valuable and they don't overwhelm the screen. They really fit in with the workflow and with what I'm trying to do. They're very context sensitive to, you know, right, what I'm searching for, where I'm searching for it.
Now, Shandu, you've done the feed map, right?
Yes.
Which is for bloggers,
right,
to put where they're blogging from on the map. Are
That's
you
right.
going to be doing anything
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. I was about to say that at the end. Yes, I'm going to integrate feed map into VE maps.
Okay.
And these little maps that they can add on their sites is going to be completely scrollable, zoomable, and all the nice things that you can do on the VE map.
Yeah.
You should be able to do that from your site, from your blog.
Yes. Wow.
Point out
so
that any developer can do that.
Exactly.
It's
right.
You know, thanks to the work that Cody did in the map control, like even a minor nerd like me can go in and with a couple lines of JavaScript, I've got a VE map embedded in my web page. Literally, like, you know, what is it, two lines of code?
Exactly. Now, will that automatically update, or do I have to put a new URL on my
No, it will be automatic.
So on Monday, will it come up?
Monday, soon after Monday.
Soon after Monday.
I'm working on it.
Yes. You're not going to take the weekend off, are you?
No, I'm working.
So what? Any other cool things? Do you have, like, five places that you'd like people to try out when they first get the map to show off some of the features of the map?
Well, besides the Hollywood sign I'll show you, another really cool area that I want to tell you about in that beach place I'm going to soon is the salt flats in San Jose, right? So if you go to San Jose in California, you know, it doesn't look like much from now. And that's the San Francisco Bay. So, but if you switch to aerial photo, you notice that it is very interesting in how colorful these salt flats are.
Yeah.
And I just find it, you know, it's kind of amazing to see them. And they're caused by both the salt evaporation ponds and as the water evaporates, you get a lot of different bacteria growing on them.
Yep.
And with different salinity level, different bacteria grow there and get different colors.
Now, so the color imagery was caught by the satellite?
Yeah,
or?
Sure. All of this imagery that you're looking at here is all in color. It's just that these are huge swatches of land that Matt's describing right now that are these salt flats. It almost looks like those colors are fake or they're not. They've been doctored, but that's actually what that looks like.
No,
the
they
sky
keep flying,
really
flying
intense.
Over, and they do have colors like that.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
I'll show one of my favorite shots here. I'm going to go back to Washington D.C. and show you the Pentagon. It's pretty neat.
Now, with some of the competitive engines, there's been a lot of blogging that shares some of this stuff. Are you guys going to have a blog where you share some of your favorites?
Yeah, definitely. You'll notice here we've got this community link, and I'll show you this at the end. Remind me that at the end because I want to show you our team photo rocket launch.
Okay.
We'll go into the community link in just a second.
All right.
But first I'll show you the Pentagon. Let me zoom in. I wish I knew D.C. a little bit better.
I think it's around here.
Yeah, it's around there. I think
there it is.
It's right there. As a matter of fact, I could have just typed in Pentagon to go there as well. So this is pretty neat. Again, what we've done here is enabled you to zoom two levels closer than any other website. So you can get down that close.
Wow.
And you are...
Are you going to get in trouble with the CIA for doing this?
Oh, no, this is all public imagery.
There's some irony in spying on the spies, you know?
There are some buildings where they have whited out, like at the top of the White House.
Right.
You can go and find the White House. But the roof has been whited out for security reasons. So, yeah, before we get this imagery, it's all been cleansed. So if there's things that we're not supposed to show here, it's already whited out.
All right.
But if you can get to it, then you can get
it
to it.
It makes you wonder what's in the roof, though. You don't have to white it out.
Now, as I scroll around here, can I get GPS locations?
On the permalink, you'll notice when I click the permalink button.
All right.
The link that comes up actually shows me the exact lat at the...
this is cool, because at a party, we had a geocaching party.
Yeah.
And the guy who planned it put prizes all over the hillside. And
nice.
We could use...
Nerdy, but nice.
Right.
It's a lot of fun, actually, because he handed everybody a pocket PC with a GPS, and you had to use clues to find each of the prizes and use your GPS to find them. It was a lot of fun. So
that's
you could fun. Actually,
yeah, that sounds like
you could actually plot point. Out a whole geocoding game on MSN on Virtual Earth and take people around. So, anything else before
we go to the
community?
We'll go to the community
right.
and show you the community page that anyone can get to here. And we do have a blog set up. So here on the community page, you can send us feedback.
You can get to that the developer site that we mentioned via Virtual Earth. We've got a Connect with Virtual Earth bloggers, which takes you to our team blog on MSN Spaces, and here you'll find our team photo. This was kind of fun. We took an Estes rocket with a digital video camera mounted, and we went out and took our team photo. And we all stood around the rocket when we launched, so I'll show you one of them. There's actually three of them up here. We'll just show you one, and people can come in and check out the others. So this rocket's pretty neat. It's only, it only costs about 70 or 80 bucks, and it's got a 30-second, 9-frame-per-second digital video capture in it.
Yeah, except that the...
Oh, you know what? I'm going to have to get that... I can't show it to you. I got to get a machine plugged in.
Ah, okay.
That's awful. Yeah. So I got to go plug a box back in that it's actually linking to.
We have some still pictures that we showed up, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. Good thinking. That's not as good as seeing the video, but let's go in and pop one of these guys.
So you'll have the video up on Monday.
Yeah, these links will be live on Monday.
Okay.
There we go. So that's us. So here's the rocket. It's about 50 feet off the ground. Here's our team down here. This is a little bit farther up as we move through here. It maxes out at about 600 feet or so.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that rocket cost came with the video camera?
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like 80 bucks for the whole dealio. The rocket, the nose cone's got the camera built in. It's got a USB port, so when it lands, you don't turn it off.
Yeah,
Matthew turned off the first one. When you turn it off, it flushes the memory. Right. You have to plug it into your laptop right away, and it'll just dump the video into your laptop.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty slick.
You linked to that product site from the community blog, right?
From the blog, exactly, if someone's interested in getting that.
I am. I'm going to buy one of those.
There's a hobby shop in downtown.
I bet Philip Perrone already has one of these, but I'm always looking for gadgets that Philip or Vic, my boss's
the only boss. Trouble was getting a rocket back after you launch it, because we're so worried that someone on the roof that we're like chasing after it and barely missed it land on the sidewalk, so we're pretty fortunate about that.
Yeah.
So here's a place. I just went to Hobby Shops in Redmond, and they actually have one on the shelves there for like under 100 bucks.
Now, you have Hobby Shops listed in this map?
Oh, yeah. You can get everything. So basically anything that you'll find in the Yellow Pages, you can do a search for in VE, from really obscure things like, ball bearing manufacturers to, more common things like an Italian restaurant or a place
to
get a rental
car. Can you find police stations and hospitals
and
all that fun stuff?
So if I go... I'll put in keyword of like police, Redmond Police Department. Oh, your battery just died, Matthew.
All right, let's go with special.
that's no fun. But yeah,
end of demo.
Just seeing the
Well, thanks.
we're gonna. I gotta go.
We've been shooting for half an hour, so thanks for spending half an hour. We'll link to some of those fun searches to try out on your hometown and fun stuff. U.S. only, but it shows like other countries. But
yeah,
not
you can actually
industry.
Navigate around the world, but you can't zoom down. Like you can go to Rome, Italy. And see aerial and vector maps until you get down to about what we call our level 10, and that's when it'll cut off out there. So it's pretty neat, as like a world atlas, but you're not going to get down to street level. But there, as Matthew said, you can go to our MSN maps and directions until we have all countries in the virtual Earth.
Yeah, we didn't talk about printing at all.
It prints very well. Actually, I recently printed a beautiful map of colorful, beautiful map of India, and just prints fine and. I'm gonna put it
and directions print out great. I've been using it to get around town.
Printing, no issues, yeah.
And anything else we should know about directions? Does it do any better?
The best thing to do is go play with it. It's really, have some fun. That's one of the things that we found, especially when we started doing when our usability team was taking the product out for usability testing, is when the usability tests were over, people didn't want to stop playing with it. Like, they would stay after
and
keep working.
Only? The website you got was www.virtualearth.com. And
yep, that'll get you there.
Virtualearth.msn.com will get you there.
Yep.
Great. Well, we'll link all that stuff on there.
Sure,
too.
Exactly. Yeah, Channel 9 will.
Yep, we'll be blogging on the community. The VE Virtual Earth team has the community blog, and I'll also be blogging on the MSDN blog. So.
Very cool. Well, thanks a lot, guys, and have a great week next week.
Hey, thanks, Robert.
Enjoy. I hope everyone has fun with it.